Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Belle.
Belle! You know, I just... How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
That's good. I realized, you know, last week I was so negative. And I feel bad about that. But even now, as I say, the hit CW show, it's not a hit CW show anymore.
Is it not?
I don't think it is. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's been around for nine years. I think technically 10 years, but not nine seasons. That ain't nothing. But I don't know, man. I don't know what qualifies a hit CW show.
I don't know.
Yeah, fair enough.
I will say this: when I go to the CW app or the CW show to watch it, or the CW website or whatever to watch it, like it used to be, and I don't know if they just changed their website, but it used to be like that was the first thing when you clicked on shows. It was like The Flash. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, here's all of our new shows. Oh, you want to see the other shows? You got to click this tab, and then The Flash is there.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about this episode, man. We got a good episode. I really didn't mean to start it on a negative note. There's a lot of fun to talk about in this episode. I think, it's a mixed bag, but what isn't these days? Before we dive into it, though, Belle, you saw Quantumania recently, yes?
I did.
Okay, cool. I think we might need to talk about that after we record this. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds good. Let's do it.
Is people getting two for the price of one this week?
It sounds like it.
All right. So stay tuned to be on the lookout for that. I'll also make mention of the fact that I've been putting out some of the TV Talk minis doing for Picard season 3. For those of you who don't know, I am what Star Trek fans call a filthy casual. And so and so you get my takes on Picard season 3, also doing the Bad Batch. We got the Mandalorian coming up. So we got a lot of good TV going on right now that we want to encourage you to check out. All right. Let's talk about The Flash, shall we?
Let's do it.
Let's get into The Rundown. Episode 3 of season 9, Rogues War. Rogues of War is more accurate. Rogues of War! Directed by Brenton Spencer and story by
Sam Chalson.
Belle, what happened this episode?
Well, the Rogues, Mercer Wozzeck and new recruit Michelle Amar / Murmur, steal a temporal scanner from Corbin Tapped Industries. Barry realizes that they're trying to build a cosmic treadmill, but will need a vibration engine, and assembles Hartley, Mark, Yako Birch, and Goldface to steal it before the Rogues can. They decide to do the mission without him until Barry agrees to trust and compensate them. He does so, but Mark betrays the group and reveals his allegiances to the Rogues in exchange for Frost's resurrection. The Rogues intercept Barry's group while the Speedster temporarily disables his speed and escapes with the engine and the Rogues. Meanwhile, Keown tries to convince Allegra to stop avoiding Chester. Iris worries that the Speedster is the new avatar for the negative speed force. Hartley, Yako, and Goldface agree to continue assisting Team Flash. Chester informs Team Flash that the Rogues' equipment are advanced Wayne Enterprises designs, and Luke Fox mentioned that Ryan Wilder / Batwoman has gone missing. The Speedster reveals herself to the Rogues as someone that resembles Ryan.
Dun, dun, dun! Belle, okay, all right. So much to talk about this week. Let me just start it off here. On its face, not its gold face, but on its face, this episode is actually a really fantastic premise. what we have here is a really like cool concept, right? We've got rogues, an evil group of rogues that are teaming up to steal something. In order to stop this from happening and to save the day, the Flash must then steal it first, except for twist. The Flash is not actually a thief. He's not going to break the law. So what does he do? He assembles a group of alternative rogues, rogues that he can pseudo count on, the morally gray of the rogues, to have a rogues on rogues rumble, a full down war of the rogues, if you will. This is a cool concept. Now add a little bit of an additional twist of having one of those rogues ultimately betray the Flash, because of course you can't count the villains to support the hero without somebody pulling the old Uno reverse on him. And you got yourself a really great plot line to a really awesome Flash episode of seasons 1 through 3. But here's the problem, Bell. Here's the problem. We're not in seasons 1 through 3. We're in season 9, which means when it comes down to a full-on rogues rumble, we're not talking Weather Wizard. We're not talking Captain Cold. We're not talking Heat Wave. We're not talking, you know, the Trickster. We're not talking, well, I was going to say Captain Boomerang, but we're not talking to Captain Boomerang with the right accent. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the off-brand rogues that we've got left in the dregs of this entire pot pool, cisspool, whatchamacallit, of, I don't know.
This is like when you're out with your mom and you're like, Mom, I want rogues. And your mom goes, we have rogues at home.
These are the rogues at home.
These are the rogues at home.
These are
except
the rogues.
For Goldface. I love Goldface. He's the
I
best.
I knew you'd go there.
He steals every scene that he's in. He's wonderful. And he, yeah.
Okay, no, don't get me wrong. It was funny because as I'm watching this and I'm like, oh man, like who are they going to pull out? Because don't get me wrong, Hartley's legit. Hartley, he's an OG rogue. He dates back to season 1 and, you know, he adds some solid validity. And I will say that, you know, Captain Boomerang, again, this is a top tier rogue in theory. However, we're dealing with a non-Aussie Boomerang. So we're still dealing with an off-brand version of what should be a top tier rogue. And then, you know, Murmur, who I kind of forgot about, and or is this her first introduction?
So I'm trying to remember the name of the rogue that was all bendy and stuff.
No, it wasn't him. Like that dude was that dude was awesome, but I can't think of his name at the moment.
Yeah, like that's who I thought this was at first. And I was like, no, that's not Murmur's not the name.
No.
And I was going to be very disappointed that they recast him without any reason to.
So we got Murmur, we got off-brand Captain Boomerang, and we've got a recast Fiddler, and that's who Red Death has kind of pulled together here to be her posse. All right, so then we get, okay, Barry, I mean, he's going out there, and he's like, okay, I'm going to get some rogues myself. So I'm going to get Chilblain, which isn't really that big of an ask, because suddenly Chilblain's in like the opening credit sequence, which is ridiculous, by the way. And then he's like, okay, so we got Chilblain. All right, fine. We've got Pied Piper, which is fine. Excellent. Good. Like Pied Piper. That's an OG. We're good here. Then he goes off and he gets Jocko, or, you know, Jocko Blacko, if you will. So we get off-brand Jack Black returning in his off-brand Jack Blackness.
Who else could he have gotten?
I mean, I feel like Captain Cold and Heat Wave, and I mean, like that.
but they're all dead or retired or, you know, in a different timeline.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, but my point is, he gets off brand Jack Black, and you know, with the fire powers, it's like, okay, well, we can't have Captain Cold. We've got Captain Cold at home. Chilblain is Captain Cold at home. Okay, we can't have Heat Wave. So who's Heat Wave at home? It's Jocko Blacko. That's who we got. That's who we've got as our Heat Wave. And then who to bring them all together? Who's going to be the final one? And I'm sitting here, Bell, and I'm sitting here and I'm watching this. I'm like, you know, we're already scraping the bottom of the barrel. Who else are they going to get? And I think about Bendy Dude. I'm like, okay, he could get Bendy Dude, but I feel like they would have promoted that more if that was the case. Yeah. And no, the car rolls up and I'm like, oh shoot. No, I even before his gold plated shoes pop out the car, Bell, I know it's freaking Goldface, and I know you love some Goldface, but
Goldface is the best. Come on. I think what I like about Goldface so much is that he brings the ridiculousness to the show. Like he feels very Legends-y, and I like that feel. Like the show's been going on 9 seasons. It gets more and more ridiculous. And so I think the more you lean into that, the better things turn up. But like, you know, we're like increasing the drama and things like that. And, you know, I don't know, maybe just make it goofy And Goldface, he's the best.
Yeah, there's just something about this guy that just is always off to me. It's always off. But regardless, Goldface is back. You're happy that he's back. He broke up. He sold out his lady friends. And it's a bit of a sore spot. He's crying himself to sleep. He's got book.
Look, he's that was book, confidential book. Information.
Don't get me wrong. I'll tell you what it is. I actually don't mind the writing for Goldface in terms of like the way in which his character is like, oh, I'm like this crime boss. But then also we have like this sensitivity training back at the at the clubhouse, right? Like we've got our book club and whatnot. I like that in theory. I think it's this actor. There's just an off energy. I don't know if I have the words to really put it into place, but he seems off. I'll just put it that way.
Yes, because he should be in Legends.
Oh gosh. You know what? He actually would make a fantastic, you know what? Yes, Bell. I think this guy would have owned Legends. That's true. I think that would have worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, Goldface is here. And so we do have our group of, quote unquote, good guy rogues that are all here going to help Barry. It's nice to see that they're, you know, they all have varying interests that are going to conflict with each other. You know, can we trust them? Can we not trust them? Obviously, we can't trust them. They're rogues. But I don't know. This is the set. This is the thing. And as I mentioned, it's hard for me to get excited for this particular group of rogues. I love this concept. I hate this cast.
Look, it was a fun episode. I like that they got a lot of use out of the prop for the power generators.
Okay.
It was kind of hard to miss, but if you look at it, it's the same prop with different lights, with different lighting in the room that it was in to make it look like three different rooms. But I mean, you can't be spending all this money on these generators, you know, when you only really need one.
That's right. They're cutting costs on generators and they're cutting costs on rogues. That's the other thing that got cost on. They're like, oh, let's bring. I mean, it's the final season, Bell. I don't care that he died at the end of time. You can get freaking Captain Cold back post crisis. That's not like, you know what I mean? Like logically, you can make that leap. Financially, maybe not. You know, Heatwave, I don't know where the legends are these days. I know Heatwave has a romance novel book service or whatever he's doing, but you could bring him back for the final season. He was introduced on The Flash.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Because budget, that's why not. Like, that, as you pointed out, they're cutting costs on shield generators. So, I mean, like, you know.
Yeah, well, you know.
We're not
you gotta pay for the CG for Red Death somehow.
Well, that's true. That is true. And that does look quite good. But yeah. Okay. But so ultimately, man, what do you think about this lineup? I mean, you know, is there anybody in particular that you wish you could have seen or do you think this is actually, you know, the best way to go with it?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like Captain Cold or Heatwave were even on the menu. So thinking of some of the others that we've seen, we saw Tar Pit earlier, like the very first episode, the little dream sequence or whatnot. Girder back from
Girder?
Season one.
We haven't had Girder in for a while. That's a reach, but that's pretty good.
I mean, what's that guy doing? You know, he's gotta be doing something.
What about Snake Eye guy? No, that would be terrible. I feel like we would have gotten Snake Eye guy this
Rainbow Raider. That would have been cool.
Rainbow Raider. Now see, they Rainbow Raider would have been fantastic. Also, you know, there's also here's a theory. What if you switched it up with your weather wizard in a post-crisis world and it's Chad Rook's brother therein of maybe he survived and now he's the weather wizard post-crisis.
You mean Chad Rook survived and his brother didn't because they were both weather wizard at some point?
No, that wasn't Chad. Chad was the first weather wizard, but then his brother ended
along,
up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a minute. I can't quite recall, but I'm just saying they could mix it up. That'd be a great nod to the pilot episode.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool.
What are they doing, Bell? They're breaking my heart. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sorry. I came in too negative, too early on. I apologize.
Yeah, it was fun though. Like it was. I don't know. I thought it was a fun episode. You know, there's a lot of those situations that we're hitting now where it's like, you know, we have to depower Barry because he's like super powerful now. And in this case, you know, it was like, we don't want him to steal, and there's meta dampeners, you know, but now riddle me this, though. One big question that I have is, can the negative speed force discharge Barry's speed force? Is that a new thing that it did, or is this something that's happened in the past that I just missed?
So this is where it gets a little dangerous. If we go based off of our knowledge of the past, they could very well retcon it. But At the same time, if we go based off of what was established early on in the series, the concept was that Eobard was harvesting Speed Force energy that Barry was generating in order to turn that into negative Speed Force, right? And so the idea was that if without a Flash, without somebody generating that Speed Force, there would be no there would be no negative Speed Force for Eobard to kind of pull off of. So, you know, over time, we've seen that change a little bit where negative Speed Force ends up being a little bit more emotionally tied. That doesn't necessarily take away from what came before. I mean, obviously, we're living in a world where there's plenty of Speed Force. Barry's been generating it for years now. So I don't know that this necessarily cancels it out, but you could make the argument that it feeds off of it.
Yeah, because I'm just trying to figure out how Barry's speed was just turned off. And if that's something that any speedster who uses the negative Speed Force has done before.
You talk about early on, because that was from the meta suppressors.
No. I'm talking about when Red Death shows up and knocks out all of Team Flash Rogue or Rogue Flash or Team
Frogue.
And carts off all of the other rogues. Barry said, you know, my speed was dampened because, you know, negative Speed Force. And I don't know if that's something that changed when they did the whole forces thing. Now that he's an avatar of it, like maybe he gets special new powers now, or I guess she gets special new powers now because it's different. But I don't know. I was just trying to figure out if this was like a new thing where it was like, reverse or the negative Speed Force like just kind of turned off Barry's speed for a short time, and if the negative Speed Force can do that to Barry, then shouldn't Barry be able to do that to someone who uses the negative Speed Force? With
I don't know, man, the reality is they change it, they make it up, and they said words, so now I guess the words are the way it is for now. Is it based off of what has come before? No, but I mean there's also an argument to be made that, you know, if you want a head candidate post crisis, everything's different. So perhaps even the Speed Force is different in a post crisis world.
Yeah. But I don't know. You know, I mean, overall, I think it was a fun episode. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of history with rogues, and there's a lot of like, you know, really good memories with a lot of the old earlier rogues. And so, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it feels cheap, but it doesn't feel for finally getting like a rogue team up 9 seasons in. That was kind of neat, but it wasn't the rogues that I would have liked to have seen in a.
Yeah, these weren't the rogues we were looking for. And I mean, like, what a great time it could have been to put on those nostalgia goggles here at the final season, pull out all the stops, get the classics back in. That would have been incredible. And like I said, even if like you go with the Chad Rook route with the Weather Wizard, then that's still a nod to the pilot episode. Like, that would have been incredible.
Yeah, the pilot episode, the last season, you know, I mean, that would have been awesome.
Yeah. They're coasting, Bell. They've been at this for a long time and they're coasting. We'll talk a little bit about that in our Ant-Man review. Anyway, I got to give you your props because I feel like you called something last week that I did not give you enough props for calling.
Yeah.
Keown is Poison Icely.
I told you.
You were totally right. She's over here talking to plants.
Yeah, she's talking to plants. She's like a nature empath person. She's going to go crazy and she's going to be. I like Pamela Icely, by the way. That was better than.
You like that?
Then what did I say it was?
Yeah, honestly, I couldn't quite recall what you said, but I just or like Frost Ivy or something like that.
Killer,
like,
I can't remember. Yeah, I Snow Killer Ivy. Ivy, yeah, or Snivy, Killer Ivy or yeah, I don't know. Pamela Icely is a lot better. Let's
that's
go with
pretty
that.
Good, right? Yeah.
I'll take it, Pamela Icely. Yeah, but yeah, so right, she's talking to plants. You know, she's making all these plant analogies to people's problems, like, you know, calling Allegra a daffodil. You know, she's plant-based and they're not gonna have her go evil. I know they won't. Right. But it's nice to think about. Maybe, yeah, so we're gonna get Pamela Icely, who is a good Poison Ivy.
Which, yep, you know, that ice no snow based character talking to plants. Just fantastic stuff there. No.
They're going to find it in the notes of, you know, Caitlin's dad, where it was like, you know, I use the ice to make, you know, a bodyguard, and I use the plants to make a therapist.
The counterbalance it. I'm going to totally mess up this kid, and then I'm just going to inject this like a plant psychology. It'll be great. It'll be wonderful. Yeah. It all makes sense in the future. Maybe, probably not.
Chlorophyll, more like borophyll.
Speaking of borophyll, Allegra and Chester have a relationship problem.
Like,
I'm sorry. Speaking of Borophil, Allegra and Chester have relationship problems.
They don't even have a relationship. They didn't
I couldn't even keep a straight face. Ah,
I mean, come on.
I mean, I think we should give this exactly the amount of energy that the episode gave it. So Allegra and Chester are having issues, but they'll probably be fine. Ready to move on to the next thing? Oh, God. I was thinking about it as I was watching this episode, and I was thinking, like, you know, I actually really do like Allegra, though. She's grown on me as a character, and I don't dislike Chester. I like Chester a lot as well. I think he's been, you know, in terms of being kind of a... I don't want to say Cisco 2.0, but like a replacement of Cisco, which is essentially exactly what he has been. You know, he's solid. I just, you know, I don't have a whole lot invested in their relationship. I hope they get together, but if they don't, you know, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. So good luck, guys. I'm sure you'll make it work before the end of the series. And then finally, man, if we kind of bring it on home, we do get the research all done and we find out, of course, that Wayne Enterprises and Luke Fox, the son, if I'm remembering correctly, of Lucius Fox, are responsible for the gear that is being worn by Red Death. Now, this is, you know, obviously you and I, we've known this since the beginning. We were all teased with the logo after the first episode, and those familiar enough with the comics kind of started putting two and two together. We don't have a Batman in this universe cast, that is. I know that there's been a Batman, but there hasn't been one cast. And so for the purposes of the DC TV universe, it makes total sense that this would be Batwoman. Batwoman, who, by the way, we learn has been missing. That is going to bring us to Speedster Speculation. We'll be right back after this break, and then we'll jump into it.
Yeah, you know who it is.
Hi, this is John Wesley Shipp, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk.
Red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow.
Hold on.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Speedster Speculation.
All right, man, we know that Batwoman is missing in Gotham, and here we have Red Death rolling around with the face, Ryan Wilder. What do you think's going on, man? Is this our Batwoman after all?
So, I don't think so, because her hair was different.
When in doubt, look to the hair.
Right. I'm kind of thinking, just because, you know, there's been a lot of recycling and rehashing, you know, in The Flash, that we're going to have another Man in the Iron Mask situation where our Batwoman is trapped and imprisoned somewhere by this other Earth Batwoman who destroyed The Flash in her universe and now has traveled to ours. Because, like, does our Batwoman know about the cosmic treadmill? You know, that Barry has, like, why would she? So my thought is that this is a Batwoman from the future, who used the cosmic treadmill in her universe to destroy the Flash and take his power and stuff. And now she's trying to do the same thing in this universe, either because she somehow got transported here accidentally. Or she is, you know, once she wants to go in on a crusade to like destroy all the Flashes.
Now that's interesting. I wonder. So, okay. I agree with you that this is probably not our Batwoman, that this is somebody from an alternate universe, somebody from across the multiverse who's kind of made their way into this one. You know, the cosmic treadmill was interesting. Like I was wondering about that early on, because on the one hand you're like, well, surely she had to use a cosmic treadmill in order to get the speed that she had, if they're going with a similar route of the comics. So why need another one? Is she trying to get back to her home universe? Is she going to, like, you know, harness Barry in the same way that she may have harnessed the Barry Allen of her universe? Possibly. But I'm also wondering why then. Like, she said specifically she wants to take revenge on Central City for what the Flash did, right? Like, that's what she stated.
Yes. So maybe this is like a repercussion of like the crisis and stuff like that.
It could be. It could also be. I mean, that would make sense, actually, given the negative multiverse and kind of the way that's all tied together. That would actually be really awesome. I'm wondering, though, given the fact that last season, with kind of the whole forces coming together and Eobard being this massive, like, evil kind of negative force avatar, I wonder if that is probably in some form or fashion either responsible for Red Death. Okay. All right. Here we go. Here's my thought. Working theory. Here we go. Eobard dies, right? Like, he explodes and such.
Yes.
All of that negative energy blasts off and has to go somewhere. So what if it, like, blasts off and lands on Red Death's universe and it, like, hits her, but in so doing destroys all of Gotham? So now she has all of this negative force energy, maybe not like to the same degree that Eobard had last season, but like now she has access to the negative speed force. Because we're getting struck by this, like, evil lightning cluster, Gotham is absolutely decimated, and she blames Barry Allen. So what does she want to do? She's going to go to Central City, and she is going to destroy the Central City of Barry's universe, because this is the Central City where that blast came from. And she blames the Flash for being the one that unleashed this lightning, because he was the one that defeated Eobard, right? So a city for a city. This is kind of the justice of Red Death.
Yeah, that could make sense.
There you go. And maybe the cosmic speed, treadmill rather, is going to create some sort of speed bomb, essentially, that she's going to then use and run on, possibly even being willing to sacrifice herself in the process while taking out the city.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
I think that's a good theory right there. That's not bad for off the cuff.
I would agree. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, the justice aspect of it alone was pretty good. Like, you destroyed my city, so it's only fair that I destroy yours.
Okay. We'll give you another twist on this. Keown, we've been seeing throughout Pamela Isley, her whole thing seems to be about life and rebirth, right? And renewal. So is it possible that we could see a situation, if Barry is able to do the Care Bear stare and bring down Red Death, that Keown would return back to her Earth and somehow use her powers to restore life to the Gotham of that universe?
No.
Oh, okay. I took it too far.
Yeah. I mean, if the city's destroyed, all the people are dead, was she going to, like, grow a garden in the ruins?
Because her fourth personality bell is going to pop out at that point, and that one is going to be Jesus, and she's going to, like, somehow resurrect all of humanity.
It's like Lazarus, the Valley of Dry Bones. It separates Gotham.
Or you know what? Perhaps even more powerful, it's going to be Cecile. And Cecile, with her new godlike abilities, will go and restore. You know what? I may have overshot it here.
Yeah, I think we've lost it.
Anyway, I have a feeling, given the fact that we're dealing with Red Death, that this is kind of a character who has, you know, death is right there in the name. This is a destroyer of worlds, or seeks to be. And given the fact that they're taking such a different and I'll just say, weird direction with Keown and Pamela Isley. Like, this is not Killer Frost. This makes no sense, unless the only sense it's supposed to make is as kind of a MacGuffin, you know, or kind of a, like a deus ex machina for like later on in the season, where her new connection with life is going to play a part in defeating somebody with kind of this connection to death. Right. So I have a feeling these two are tied together.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't doubt that. They have to find a way to, I mean, I guess they don't have to, but it'd be nice if they found a way to tie Keown into Red Death's story in a way that made sense and wasn't like, you know,
yeah,
dumb.
Remember when we did the Rogues Rumble back in the day as like a March Madness thing?
Yeah.
And it's classic Flash TV talk back in the day.
Absolutely, man.
I was looking at this list of rogues that we had in this episode, and I'm like, this is such a sad Rogues Rumble. I'm thinking it goes all the way, like it's Hartley versus Goldface, but I got to give it to Hartley.
Are we talking about like based on which one you like better or which one you think would win?
Both. I think. I mean, okay. All right. Let me just hit you with this. All right. Chilblain versus Jocko Blocko.
Oh, fire versus ice. Classic matchup there. I'm gonna have to give it to Chilblain just because I think he is more seasoned of a bad guy and would beat him there.
He wouldn't hold back. Okay. All right. Murmur versus Fiddler.
Murmur appears to be deaf. Therefore, I think that is a given that Murmur would win that, because you got sonic stuff. I mean, granted, sound waves can still have an effect on you, even if you can't hear them. But like, just like Hartley, it impacted his heart. However, not being able to hear the sound.
What did Murmur do again? What was her deal? She had knives?
Stabs people with a future cyber knife. She stabs people.
Yeah, but like, they can all stab people.
No, but she's a serial killer because she wears a creepy face.
They're all serial killers.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, Iris explained Murmur.
Iris explained what Murmur was, because like, she did a story on her. Uh-huh. And I was just like, okay, that's uninspired. I was expecting Bendy guy. And
okay, all right then Murmur versus off-brand Boomerang.
That's an interesting one, because they both have stabby weapons.
That's true.
But Boomerang's stabby weapons come back to him. I'm gonna give
and
it to Boomerang.
I think in a distance situation, it's got to give it to Boomerang, right?
Yeah. I'm gonna give it to Boomerang 100%.
Okay, then Goldface versus Chilblain.
Goldface 100%.
Okay, then Goldface versus Boomerang.
Goldface 100%.
Okay, then Goldface versus Hartley.
Goldface 100%.
Shut up, Meg. All right.
Actually, Goldface versus Hartley would be interesting, because Hartley specifically said that there was no gold in his gauntlets, so Goldface couldn't disable them.
Exactly.
But Goldface 100%.
You just like that legend.
Let's keep
that's
going.
All that
let's
is.
Keep
that's...
going. Let's keep going. Who else?
No, that's it. That was
Barry.
All of our rogues.
Goldface. Goldface versus Cecile. Goldface. Goldface versus Joe. Goldface. Goldface versus Arrow. Goldface. Goldface versus Spectre Arrow. Goldface.
Uh-huh. Spectre Arrow is basically like he's essentially God.
Goldface versus God. That's a good one. Goldface.
It's a golden idol. My goodness gracious. All right. Somehow this became the most sacrilegious episode of Flash TV Talk history. Oh, man. All right. Well, there you go. Those are our thoughts on the episode. Bell, any other final thoughts, you know, about this one?
Goldface wins, hands down.
Goldface wins. I will say the only thing that Goldface doesn't win is a creme brulee cook-off, because nobody can come even close to Barry and Iris in that. So there you go.
Truth.
All right, well, let us know your thoughts on this episode and more. Head over to TV Talk FM, that is to say twitter.com/TV Talk FM. Love to hear your thoughts there. Hey, follow Bell. Follow him at Ring That Bell, and tell him what you really think of him. Tell him that you love him.
Do it.
What you really think. That is going to do it for us for today. But for me, for Bell, for Bell's mom.
Hi, Mom. That's the wrong outro, but whatever.
No, who cares? It's the wrong rogues. We'll be back in a flat.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.